Welcome, everybody, to Burgess Power Hour call today, tonight. And tonight's about prosperity through emotional healing. And the subtitle to all of this is, hey, can you have love and money at the same time? So I welcome everybody on the call. We've got people from all around the country and perhaps all around the world. And as I was just saying, I just got back from Malaysia. I was there for 2.5 days doing my thing over there with Essence of Being, teaching and doing our Kid Power programs for the children. So there are some children and families and adults and all kinds of folks over there that have just have been transformed and transmuted and had just a fabulous time there. So I'm glad to be back in the States. I'm a little jet lagged, but I'm here and ready to go. So thank you all for joining. And what I'm going to do first, I just want to ask you, if you've never been on one of these calls, it's definitely experiential, meaning I'd love to hear from you. We do exercises. We do some finding out some things about yourself. So if you're driving, you're not going to be able to do this. Or maybe you can. You can think about it, but you're not going to be able to write stuff down. So if you are able to write stuff down, get you a pad and paper out, because somewhere around halfway, we do a little exercise just to kind of get you involved in finding out things about yourself that might be helpful. So if you're not, you can probably just think about it. And then we have show and tell. In other words, if you want to share anything about what comes up for you or any questions you have, it's an open forum. So anybody can speak. All I ask is that you mute yourself if you have background noise, and you can do that by *6, or obviously if you have a cell phone, you just hit mute, like whatever that is in the background there. I think there's an animal in the background. So if you've got that doggy barking in the background, you might want to mute yourself so there's no background noise, okay? So when you do want to speak or say something or share or speak up, you hit *6 again, or you unmute yourself. So without further ado, I'm going to just jump right into it and talk about prosperity through emotional healing, having love and money at the same time. So I just want to first of all say, think about yourself in your life, or maybe you know people who have money and not so much love, or vice versa. Do you know people, or maybe you're one of the ones that have, you're full of love and you have great relationships, but not so much cash. So, I mean, do you ever wonder if you can have both at the same time? So many people that I've worked with over these, well, I've been doing this kind of work for 35 years, but Essence of Being for 22, but many people think that they're mutually exclusive because they have limiting unconscious thoughts. Like, think about this. Think about your own life or people that you know. Have you ever heard the thought, money doesn't buy happiness? Or, I'd rather be in a relationship and in love than rich. So these are in the consciousness of thought. They might be in your thoughts. They might be unconsciously. These are things that you have linked up, saying, well, money really doesn't get me anywhere or buy me the happiness or buy me love. So that could be a limiting unconscious thought. But we're going to go and find out what your unconscious thought might be about this. Now, although I agree, you know, it does not buy happiness. I do, however, know that some folks, you know, they think that money can cause problems in a relationship based on past experiences. So think about your own relationships and what causes challenges in a relationship is often money. Either they fight about it, and I do a lot of relationship counseling, and so people fight about money, about either having enough money, or they fight about who has the power. because sometimes people put money and power together in a relationship. So oftentimes, whoever has the money or who makes the money has the power. And that seems to come up a lot in a relationship. Or you might fight about what to do with it. Let's say you have a lot of money or you have money, and when you get money and when you have something, you fight about what are you going to do with it. So money is a real contentious, it can be a real contentious thing in a relationship for some people. So again, there's that mutually exclusive thought, and that there's a limiting thought, and you use money as maybe a power play, or depending on what your beliefs are about money, you can use it as a weapon, or you can use it as a lot of guilt feelings. So let me tell you what I mean about that, because my belief is that money is energy, and it flows in and out, and for some of us, it flows out more than in. So what I would prefer is it flows constantly. And my whole other money essence of abundance, or my other talks that I've done and power hours, and of course the classes that I teach, essence of abundance, go into all kinds of things about the money and how it goes in and out and what to do with it. But I'll save that for another time. What I'm trying to get across tonight is the relationship that we have with love and money. So unfortunately, for some people, again, money flows out, and it never stays in. And when that happens, especially in a relationship, it can cause feelings of unworthiness and despair at times. And for some people, hopelessness, or certainly a lot of worry. So when that comes up for people, when they're worried or they're in despair or they feel unworthy or that they don't have enough or they're not good enough, they lash out at the ones that they love the most. And people do this because they feel guilty, again, or not good enough or not worthy. And most people do not want to look at themselves in the mirror and say, hey, you're not good enough, you're not worthy, you're guilty, this is not feeling good. Most people don't want to look in the mirror and say that to themselves. So what they do is they project it onto other people. You've heard the term, love, the people that you love the most can push your buttons the most. Well, that's one of the reasons why, is because you feel safe with that person. And so lashing out at the person that you love the most, which is the same as pushing their buttons, can happen easily because you feel safe with them in that you know they love you. And like I said, most people don't want to stand in front of the mirror and say, hey, this is how I'm feeling, and I'm really mad and upset, and all these thoughts and feelings of being unworthy or not good enough or messing it up or feeling guilty or being in debt or whatever the feeling is or whatever the belief system is, they don't want to look in the mirror and say that. And those of you who have taken Essence of Being and have done classes with me, and maybe those of you who have studied certain aspects of divine universal, I call it universal principles sometimes, is one of the things that they say is that when there's a lot of love present in a relationship, everything unlike love comes up for the purpose of healing it. So when there's a lot of love in a relationship, or when you're with someone and there's a lot of love there, what can happen is it pushes up, that love pushes up everything unlike itself for the purpose of healing. Now, you can get rid of that person and say, okay, next, 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 but the same stuff keeps coming up for you because you didn't change, or you haven't changed anything within yourself. See, because many people will attack what doesn't satisfy them in order to avoid seeing that they created it. I'm going to say that again because that's really important to hear. Many people will attack what does not satisfy them in order to avoid seeing they created it. Now, that's if you believe that thoughts can create your reality. And if you believe that, or even if you're not sure, think about that for a moment. Let that just settle in. If wow, my thoughts create my reality, then I suggest you get clarity around your unconscious thoughts if you really, really want to shift things. So I call that bubble talk. And the bubble talk is that unconscious thought that keeps you from getting what you want. It's those little voices in our heads. And I call it bubble talk because of the cartoon characters that have little bubbles above their head. That's what they're thinking. They may be saying one thing, but they're thinking another. And what I'm talking about when I say bubble talk is unconscious thinking, the unconscious thoughts. Because we have conscious and unconscious thoughts. And so what we do with all of the work that I work with is we go to that unconscious or subconscious level to see what's there, what's in there, which we're going to do some today, to find out what is your bubble talk around love and money at the same time and see the correlation between the two. So when you have a core bubble, let's call it, or a core unconscious thought that really doesn't serve you, like, I'm not worthy, I'm not good enough, I'm guilty, I'm unsafe, whatever it is, that informs our choices. So those unconscious thoughts are the drivers. They're the drivers of the bus. They're the ones that are really informing our choices for around love and around money and around everything else in our life. And I talk about unconscious and conscious just like, again, if those of you who've taken the classes, you know, you put your gas on, that's your conscious thought and your desire, and you put your brake on, and that's your resistance or your unconscious thoughts. And if you have your gas and your brake on at the same time, you don't go anywhere. You spin your wheels. And so what many of us do is we let go of our gas, because we all know how to let go of our desire. We all know how to just let go of what we really want and say, well, this is as good as it gets. So part of my mission here tonight, and also my mission in life in general with all the workshops and programs that I do, is to help people understand that you can let go of the break. You can let go of that unconscious thought instead of the desire. You can let go of the resistance so that you can have everything that you want in your life, because I'm a living example that this works. And so I share that with people so that you can really live the fullest life and we can have a better planet when everybody has everything that they want, so including love and money. So this prosperity that I'm talking about through emotional healing and having love and money at the same time is really key, and it's all driven around your unconscious thoughts. So hopefully you understand that part so far. And if you're not sure, if you believe in all of that, that's okay too. Just stay tuned. Let me put it into maybe a different way for you. We have parts of ourselves that is disclosed to ourself. So just think about yourself, okay? And imagine that your entire being is represented by a circle. And then divide that circle into four quadrants, four parts. So the first quadrant is your open self. That's the self that's known to yourself and it's known to others. The second quadrant is your blind self, which is comprised of things others can find out about you that you're unaware of, like your habits or your mannerisms or your defense mechanisms or your flight strategies. Okay, now the third quadrant is your hidden self, This includes all your secrets, everything you think, feel, and desire that you keep to yourself. In other words, it's known to you, but unknown to others. And the fourth quadrant is your unknown self. Since this self is, by definition, unknown, we can only assume its existence and give it names like the unconscious. This is your dreams or mystical experiences. These are the strongest evidence for the existence of the unknown self. So I'll say those again. Your open self is things that you know yourself and others know about you. Your blind self is what others know about you, but you don't see in yourself. Your hidden self is known to you, but not known to others. And then the mysterious unknown self, which is unknown to you and others. So that is your unconscious part. That's the bubble talk that I'm talking about, that unconscious thought. And it can keep you from getting what you want in your life. So let me explain about transformation, and then we're going to go to your, we're going to go dig and see what's in your subconscious, what's in your unconscious about linking love and money. Because here's the thing, when you transform, it's the process of becoming conscious of the many levels on which we make our choices. And we learn to recognize what it is that we create as a result of our choices. So choosing, let me give you an example, choosing becomes a conscious act rather than the unconscious activity of reacting to our fears or our stress. It is this step-by-step self-study process that allows a person to realize that the choice to remain filled with, let's say, anger, for example, about you not getting what you want, that can actually, that particular experience or feeling or emotion can actually develop illness in the body. It can actually create stress, as we know. We've known that forever, that your unconscious thoughts can create dis-ease in your body, and so they've now, physics, quantum physics, and also actually medical studies have obviously proven that stress creates problems in your body. And so they're filing, medical community's finally getting it, that it all starts in your head. And it's the unconscious belief systems that really, really do and can run our lives. So if that's true, then it's really important to kind of go down there and dig around and see what's in there. And maybe it's something you never even thought of before because it's unconscious. So most of the time you don't know. So people keep beating their heads against the wall. I keep having all this love in my life but no money. Or I keep having all this money in my life but no love. Or maybe I don't have any of it. I don't know. Or I can't keep it if I have it. So there's all kinds of things that come up for people around this. So is there a correlation between love and money? Well, let's look at it from a metaphysical point of view, that money is energy and love is energy. So in that respect, it's the same. It's all about the feeling or it's energy in motion. When you love someone or when you're with someone, there's a feeling there. And money is just energy as well. Money is just an outflow and an inflow, and it's just a way of, in the real sense, I guess, in the critical sense, it's just a way to move things around, and so we don't have to barter all the time like we used to back in the olden days. It's just a way that we have commerce instead of doing barter. So people have really put, though, a feeling to their money. So much so that they become their credit score, or they become their bank account, In other words, people can believe everything about themselves based on their success. How much money do I have in the bank? How much money do I make? What do I have to show for it? That's who I am. That's my self-worth. And so it's become a feeling for us, for many people. And what I'm trying to give you a distinction is, it's just energy. It's just, money is just a tool that we use. We're the one who attach all of this other stuff about how worthy we are around it. So if you can detach from that whole piece of money is just a tool, it doesn't define who we are, then that can first of all get you on the road to, if you have felt that you're not good enough or unworthy, or if you feel like you can't keep it or you don't have enough, that will help through that emotional healing that will help your prosperity consciousness. So let's go find out what is going on in your subconscious or your unconscious about all of this. So what I want you to think about now, or write down, think about a time in your life when you were the most happy. So just think about in your life, kind of put a date to it, like a year. Just think about it for a minute. When was I the most happy in my life? How old was I? It could be now. And I'm talking about your adult life, not when you were a kid. See if you can identify the year. About. It doesn't have to be exact, but close. And then just notice if you can't think of any time in your life that you were happiest. But pick one. For the purpose of this exercise, pick a year. It could be birth of a child. It could be wedding. It could be a raise. It could be a change of job. Or your business explodes. Does anybody need more time to think of a year? Okay. Now I want you to think about the time in your life when you made the most money. So think about that year. Okay, hopefully you've identified. When I do this in my classes, we get a little more, deeper on this, but this is good for now for you to at least identify one time in your life you were happy and one time in your life that you made your most money. And write those dates down. Now I want you to think about the lowest point in your life. When you were the most sad or just a very low point in your life, and what year that was. Just emotionally when you felt the worst as an adult. and just write down the year. And then write down the year of when you were the least prosperous. That's how I'm going to phrase it. I don't want to say the brokest or the poorest, but when you basically didn't have what you needed or just the least amount that you made as an adult, roughly what year was it? Okay, so hopefully you've got four different dates there. I want you to look at that. This is sort of a very, very broad timeline of your life. So just notice, did they happen at the same time in your life where you had the most money and you were the happiest? Or was it completely opposite? The time that you were happiest in your life, you had the least amount of money. See if you can see a pattern there. So if you had the opposite, in other words, you were the most unprosperous when you were the happiest, or very close to it when you were happy, just ask yourself, do I believe I can have it all at the same time? Or is there a belief that I have that I can't have both? That one will spoil the other? And there could be a subconscious thought that's basically blocking you from that. For instance, like money doesn't buy happiness. That could be an unconscious thought that you have. So thinking that you have a lot of money, it's a lot of work, it's a lot of responsibility, a lot of pressure, or maybe it's the other way around. So ask yourself, if it was opposite and you didn't have them at the same time, maybe there could be a block there from having both at the same time. Now, if you had the same time frame where you were the happiest and you were and the richest and you made the most at closer together at the same time, then you ask yourself, what came first? And there is not necessarily, there's not a right or wrong answer here, but just notice if you had any kind of correlation there. What came first? You were happy and then you became, then you could have the flow of abundance coming to you because you were happy? Or did you feel like because you had a flow of abundance there of cash, that made you happy? You know, this isn't rocket science, but this does help you to seek the awareness of your unconscious belief systems. Now, it's my belief, it's all about your inner work. It's all about your subconscious, your unconscious. That comes first, no matter what. That drives the bus. And if you keep having the same patterns over and over and over again, and you keep trying different things on the outside to make you feel better. I'll get a better job. I'll make more money. I'll get a different relationship. But if things keep happening and you keep seeing the pattern over and over again, what has to change is not the stuff on the outside, not the new job, not the new person, but you. Because for things to change, first I must change. The inner work is the most important part. It's sort of like a toy box that I talk about in a lot of my workshops. The toy box, you have all these toys you put in the toy box. More money, more cars, more better job, better business, different partner, kick that person out, bring that person in. And all these toys are in your toy box. And for a little while, they're all new toys, and they make you happy, and yay, and it's new. And then eventually, they break, or they spoil, or it doesn't work as well, or you get tired of it. And you start all over again. But what doesn't change is the box, the toy box, which is you. You're the container. You're the context that's holding that shape. You're the one that's seeing the world through your filters. So this inner work is really, really important. For things to change, first I must change. Now, does anybody want to share what came up for them before I go to the next part about guilt? About any kind of correlation.
Hey, Virge.
Hey.
Well, for me, I've done this exercise before, and the two never correlate at the same time. I'm always happiest when I have the least amount of money, and I always have the most amount of money when I'm not necessarily the happiest, which... Ding, ding, ding.
So you're one of those that thinks that you can't have both.
Well, you know what? Until I did the exercise, I was never aware of that. But apparently my subconscious is.
Well, let me ask you a question. In your life, have you had evidence from either your parents or from other people in your life, from a little child on up, that people who have a lot of money aren't happy and they end up being corrupt, or they are not happy people?
Yeah, not really. My father anyway was an overachiever, so no, not really.
What do you mean he was an overachiever?
I mean, he always wanted more. He always worked harder to get more.
Okay. And was he happy?
I don't know. He died too young. It's hard to say.
Oh, well, there
probably
you go.
Not.
Well, there you go.
Probably not.
You die too young if you work hard. There's some evidence right there. That's a ding, ding, ding correlation of... My dad worked hard. He never had enough. He always wanted more. And he left too soon.
Yeah, actually, they both did. They both died. My mother was younger than I am now, actually.
Okay.
So
you had the evidence from your parents, anyway, that work, you know, you have a good work ethic, but if you work, and you never have enough, and you always want more, and you just keep going, it can kill you.
Mm-hmm. I guess so.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
And it didn't buy happiness, did it?
No, they always talked about doing all these things when they retired, and they never got
and they never did.
To retire.
Right. So that could be that you have this unconscious belief system based on what your evidence has been, that if I have a lot of money, I'm always going to want more, and I'm going to work my butt off, and I could even die early, you know. I mean, it could even be that... that specific of an unconscious belief. It may or may not be that I'm going to die, but you sure have evidence that working and making lots of money and trying to have more is not it.
I guess that's possible.
And so it could be a feeling of I'll be the happiest if I don't have to work so hard, which is what you wanted, as a child. You didn't want your parents working so hard. You wanted them to be with you, and as all kids do.
Mm-hmm.
And so you were probably the happiest when you were younger, when you had your mom and dad there with you, participating with you, not out working. We all want our parents to be with us to have more of their time. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
So there's definitely some correlation there, I'd say.
Mama, oh, I'm...
Okay, that wasn't me. Someone's not on mute.
Right. Was that somebody else that wanted to say something? Okay. So if that's
Bert?
A really... Yes.
Sorry. I'm
yeah.
sorry. I have a question.
Okay.
I mean, it's regarding to, the unconscious self. And I'm just trying to figure out a way. When you see, and I know, I kind of know what you're going to say, but when you see the evidence in front of you, I look at my bank account and I see the limitation on the money, and I use affirmation, to kind of override the belief that you're talking about, and still doesn't work.
What is the belief that you think you have that you're trying to override?
I see that I don't have the money that I need. I'm scared.
You're scared. Okay. So you get scared about not having enough. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Let me ask you a question. Do you feel guilty?
No.
Pardon?
No. Guilty no. of guilty of like of what?
Do you feel bad? Do you feel guilty that you don't have enough to pay your debts, have
yeah.
what you want?
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't feel guilty.
Okay, somebody,
hello?
I need you to mute yourself because I can hear you. You were just talking about closing a door, so if you could mute yourself,
sure,
that'd
ma'am.
Be great. So, okay, so you get afraid?
Yeah, I was saying, I'm not feeling guilty. I don't know how to explain. I'm not feeling guilty that I can't pay my debts or I don't have enough. I feel frustrated that I don't have what I would like to have.
So when
and,
you feel frustrated, okay.
And the frustration, it's worse because I have all this knowledge that, which is all mostly intellectual, that I know that the universe is supposed to be abundant, that we have abundance, that we all... the universe, it's supposed to co-create with us, and we're supposed to have everything. And I cannot get to feel that. I can't get myself to get into that consciousness, and it's frustrating me more than
so. You're
anything.
Frustrated, angry, and beating yourself up that you can't get.
Hello. Give that to him. That was, he was using that
please,
first.
Could you mute yourself, please? Whoever's talking.
Ask him.
Hello. If you can mute yourself, whoever's talking on the phone. I heard a man's voice. Could you please mute yourself? Okay. So is that true, what I just said?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's what I want to go to next. It's a perfect segue, all right, on how to let go of beating yourself up about it, thinking that I should know better, being frustrated about it's not working for me, or feeling guilty that you can't pay debts, or feeling guilty that you're not where you want to be. is where the emotional, your emotions are connected to your prosperity, consciousness. So your emotional link to money can be guilt. In other words, if you're in debt, and if you, or if you don't have enough money to pay your bills, or you don't have enough of what you want, you beat yourself up about it, because some of us are, maybe you've been working on this for a long time and it just hasn't come to fruition yet, or maybe you had it for a while and it's gone. So there can be a guilty emotion around this whole process. And if you feel guilty, remember what happens in an unconscious vibrational way. Guilt will demand punishment. You're either guilty or innocent. And if you are vibrating guilt in any way, whether it's guilt towards someone, guilt towards yourself, beating yourself up about it, or feeling guilty about I'm not able to pay people, or I'm not able to do whatever I need, whatever it is I need to do, you're beating yourself up. And what happens is that vibration will actually create punishment for you, and you'll just get more of it. In other words, if you believe that we vibrate, all sentient live beings vibrate, quantum physics has actually proven this now, that we have this vibration, and this vibration goes on forever, and it triggers something on the outside. It vibrates and attracts to us something else, back to us. It's sending out a signal, and it's received somewhere. That signal's received somewhere, and that receiver sends it back to us. And that's, of course, the concept, one of the concepts of law of attraction. If you're punishing yourself, though, this is what happens. It's called self-sabotage, okay? You either attract something to you that keeps you feeling guilty and punishing you because you feel bad, so you keep attracting more of it, or from some other place, say a creditor or another person, like our relationship. They beat us up because we're beating ourselves up, or we self-sabotage it. In other words, our unconscious thoughts are actually creating a misfire. It's unconscious, but we're beating ourselves up because we believe we're guilty and we deserve it. So my suggestion would be to be innocent around love and money. That's the opposite of guilt. And what I mean by be innocent is look at money and love and all of those things through the eyes of a child. We get so serious around love and money. And sometimes it really just takes us going back to being that innocent child to start nurturing ourselves and having compassion for ourselves again, being innocent, seeing things from the eyes of a child like it's a game, discovery, wonder, awe, fun. What's this? Looking at things with a fresh pair of eyes, saying to yourself, I am innocent around money. I am innocent around love. I'm an innocent child. Because that innocent little girl or innocent little boy is still inside of us. We've just masked it with all of the heavy responsibilities and all the burdens and all of those things. We get really, really heavy. And then we have a heavy heart. And then we start lashing out at people around us. Or we lash out at ourselves. And so the quickest way to shift that vibration is saying to yourself, I am innocent, and you look at everything from a perspective of being a child. Have compassion for yourself. So, I mean, it's called basically going to that mammalian brain, that's the emotional brain, the middle brain, having compassion. And that's what you can do in the relationship. If you're in a relationship, if you want a relationship, you can do that and not get it all confused with happiness and money and all of these things that we tie it all up into. We just start, we allow all those outside forces and influences to affect us inside. We have to learn how to take ownership or responsibility of acknowledging it's our thoughts, our beliefs, and our actions that create our life. It's acknowledging our power. We have the power to choose to be innocent around money and around love. We have the power and the position and the impact to choose our thoughts every time, every day. And when we have that evidence that comes back up to us and says, no, it's not, your bank account still looks the same, it takes practice. And I'm here to tell you that this really works. It took practice for me when I had nothing and I had lost everything. It didn't happen overnight. But I practiced. It's like working out. You know, you're working out your emotional consciousness. You're working out through your subconscious to your conscious level. You're working out. But I had a good why. I had a very good why. Why to continue to work that out. Because I had a little 2.5-year-old son I had to take care of, and he was my why. He's 25 now. He's doing great. And he's living his dream, traveling the world, doing singing and dancing and acting and doing what he loves. And I'm living my dream. And those of you who don't know me, I mean, my story is I basically had lost everything, went bankrupt, divorced, and had one car with one headlight and a little and the door that didn't work. And I went from that to having millions in assets and going around the world sharing and teaching and doing what I love doing, what I have a passion for, and allowing all of this to come about for me. But I didn't give up on myself. I beat myself up bad. But I became more and more innocent around love and money, and I knew that if I could just play like a child and not give up on myself and believe that I could have both, that I deserve to have love and money in my life. Money is just an affect. It's just an energy exchange. I had empathy and compassion for myself and respect. So these kinds of belief systems that we have that come up for us, it may not be there yet, but don't give up. Don't give up before the miracle. Mm-hmm. It really does happen. So have compassion for yourself. Love the fact that you can be, just really go into that innocent child and say, I am innocent and I'm going to play. I'm going to play with money. I'm going to play with love. I'm going to play with health. I'm going to play with everything. And the prosperity piece flows through that. It flows through passion. Think about people that, it's like our, like Karen was saying on the line, her parents worked and worked. Maybe they were passionate about it, maybe they weren't. But I imagine if they, if their belief system is, I don't have enough and I have to work and work and work and I'm going to save it all up and work until I retire, that didn't work out very well. So it's the journey along the way that's the most important part. How are you responding to your life right now? The journey. Know it's coming. Know you can have both. Know that you can heal all of this, any wounds you might have or any thoughts that you might have that aren't serving you. Know that you make a difference. Remind yourself. Of course, have people around you to empower you. That's, of course, what the Healing Forest is about, which is our whole philosophy of having people around you that are reminding you of how powerful you are, not of all the things that aren't working. Create people around you that empower you. Does anybody want to share anything?
Hi, I am Mirella. I just wanted to say that I guess it's easy on paper, easy said than done, easier said than done. I mean, I'm glad that you brought up the self-sabotaging, punishing ourselves, but this thing about playing, I guess I just realized, I mean, we forget even what is that.
Exactly. We get so burdened down with all of that heavy responsibility,
serious.
Right?
Yeah, my
very
daughter
serious.
Said, Mom, you're very serious all the time. And then she gets shocked when I get and play or dance or go goofy because she sees me serious most of the time. And then I guess it's the... It just feeds on her bounces.
Right.
And, so, and then how to find people to encourage you and to support you, that's another thing to empower you.
Yes. Yes. To say it's play. In other words, if you look at life as a child, look and you notice children, they're very present and they're in their beingness a lot more, and we forget. That little child is within us still. We think we've got to be a certain way when really all we have to do is allow ourselves to feel that innocent child within again and say, you know what? It's all a big game. It's a journey. It's not the stuff. It's not about the success and the money and the love, you know, the relationship. It's about the journey. And as long as we're adding value along the way, then the effect we have in the world will add value. But if we stop, in other words, we give up or we just don't go for our dreams anymore, don't go toward a goal or don't go toward something, and we're just stuck, we don't have an effect. And that makes us feel even worse. So the first thing I do is I go on a vacation. Even when I can't afford it, even when I think, I just go somewhere where I can get myself out of the rat race and give myself the freedom to be innocent and to play. And that changes my entire vibration. And when I change my vibration, things around me change. And people make fun of me all the time. I've done that many, many times when I get to a point where I just don't know what to do because things are so heavy. I just say, you know what? I'm just going to go play. And it happens every single time I've done that in my life. I would go play, it shifted my vibration, and lo and behold, things unfolded for me very quickly. And, I mean, I would even have checks coming in the mail I didn't even expect. Unexpected income would come to me just when I was out playing.
Play. Yeah. Okay. Play.
First, does that mean you're coming to Connecticut? You know, I miss you up here.
Is that Katie Cakes?
Yeah.
Hey, honey. Well, well, just like I said on the line, I just got back from Malaysia. I was in Malaysia for 2.5 weeks teaching Essence of Being over there and the Kid Power.
That sounds amazing.
The little kids, 6 to 11-year-olds. So I was there. And I'm off next week to Italy and Greece. And then off.
Oh, my God.
And I'll be gone for 3 weeks, actually. And then, as a matter of fact, I'll be doing Essence of Being in Atlanta, Georgia, October 16th, 17th, and 18th. So please come. If you've never taken Essence of Being, this is a perfect opportunity. It's our flagship weekend. Mm-hmm. And the next weekend I'll be in Florida, October 23rd, 24th, and 25th, doing Essence of Being. And I'll be doing that in Boynton Beach, which is basically Fort Lauderdale, a little bit north of Fort Lauderdale. And then 2 weeks after that, I'll be in Australia, in Melbourne, Australia, doing Essence of Being. So come over there and play with me.
That would be amazing.
And then I'll be back in Malaysia again the next week after that.
Wow. How is it that we can't find anybody up here to bring you up here, and you've been all over the world finding people?
Can I ask you a quick question?
Up there? I've got people in New York and Connecticut and Rhode Island all over the place. They're up there in Boston.
I do have a quick question, because I guess it's one piece that's missing for me at the end of the game. Say you play, say you get, you raise your vibration and you got what you wanted, and then you get scared with what do you do with that?
Aha. Uh-huh. That is a belief system of, what do you think that is? You get scared because you have it all. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a belief system right there that says, I have it all, now what do I do? So the belief system could be this, and it, when we do this in our abundance classes, but the belief systems could be that I'm afraid I can't keep it because something's going to happen. Or you feel like it's too much responsibility and you don't want to make a mistake and do the wrong thing with it. Is that true?
Yeah, some of it.
Isn't it a good thing you're going to be doing EOB soon?
Yeah.
Isn't it a good thing I'm going to be doing Essence of Being? Yes.
No, her, the speaker.
Oh. Is she coming to do Essence of Being?
Yeah. I didn't know if you're going to touch up on this stuff, though.
Yes, awesome. That'll be perfect.
No, I mean, my question was, are you going to be touching on this stuff?
Of course.
There. Oh, okay.
All of it. Yes.
Yeah, Essence of Being is, just so you know, is we cover money, relationships, love, health, business, purpose. So it kind of, it goes to the core of who you are and how that informs all your decisions about all things like that. We do give you insight, or you get insight, basically, and discover yourself what's been blocking you in any of those areas. And then we have other programs after that that you can take that are specific about certain things, like relationships or money or communication and those types of things. But Essence of Being covers the whole thing. It's the flagship, the starting place. And absolutely, you can focus on, if I have it all, and why am I not doing anything with it? I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, I think that's where I am.
Perfect. Well, you're in a great place to discover, what do I do now? What do I do now? So, yay, I'm excited to play with you and anybody else on the call that's coming to any of these programs that I've got set up. And just so you know, and Katie Cakes, you can bring me up there. There's nothing stopping you from bringing me up there. So, again, so here's the thing. I'm going to be the next power call that I'm having is October 21st. October 21st, which is our, it's the third Wednesday every month. And that one, you're going to love this topic, intimacy and essence of sex. Woohoo! So it's going to be a fun one. And you can look at that through the eyes of a child, too. Look at everything as you being innocent. And play, and know that you make a difference, because remember, everyone, what you focus on expands, it gets bigger. And so I invite all of you to come play with us, no matter where we're doing this in the world, please come play with us and stay connected, and I really appreciate you connecting on this call. And I hope that it gave you some kind of insight or inspiration or shift in your thought, or something that can help you and remind you that you are powerful and that you can create everything that you want and deserve and choose and allow. And so for this power call, I really thank you all. It's anybody want to say anything before I go?
Welcome home.
For a minute, we won't blink.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, it's It's been a whirlwind is all I can say, but I'm really glad to be back.
Amazing.
For a few minutes. And I have a wedding this weekend, so this is going to be a fun few minutes off here. So I love all of you. Thank you for being on the call, and I will see you next time for Essence of Sex and Intimacy. Yay.
George.
Bye, everybody.
Love you.
Love
Bye.
You all. Thank you.
Bye.
Love you, George. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Bye. Love you.
Bye. Thank you.